A lot of times I think about the song that we recorded one time called Talk About Jesus. That, of course, is what we want to talk about, is to talk about Jesus. Satan doesn't like for us to talk about Jesus, but we still talk about Jesus anyway. And we sing the praises of God. As I say so often, we sing the praises of God, not because we're good. If it was based on our goodness, then we'd never sing the praises of God again, because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So then we sing the praises of God because He is good. And indeed, He is good. If you've never been acquainted with His goodness, you need to get acquainted with His goodness, because the things that He hath done for humanity, the sacrifice He hath made, the love that has been conveyed to His people, it's just to where you can't fathom the greatness of it. And His wonderful love is so high above our understanding as the heavens is the earth. There's no way to fathom or understand such great, 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 wonderful love. But this is revealed to us as to His Spirit. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind at any time, even with all the great teachers of the world, whether they're spiritual or intellectual or whatever. The things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Paul was the overseer of the Gentile church, and he was different from all of the other apostles, not in that it was Paul's goodness, but it was God's goodness, and not in that Paul had merited anything, but God had willingly given to Paul. And Paul was a chosen vessel as to reveal the life of Christ in him, that the world might see the sufferings of Christ and the power of Christ and the knowledge of Christ. And finally, Paul just said, well, it's just not me living, but it's Christ. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So it is wonderful to know that God has chosen you to reveal Christ to the world through you, and that you are the Christ image. But it's so sad to understand that God, who desires to reveal Himself through you, that He cannot, because your mind is so cluttered up with the things of the world, and that you're so after the things of the natural, that you will not yield yourself as to your mind and your spirit and your body to Him. The Bible said the body is the Lord's, and it should be given to Him, and you should be holy in body and in spirit, and that we should do all things as unto Christ, because it is Christ. You know, I find myself so often coming up here to say things. I want so much to say things that the Lord has given me and hid within my heart. And I'm speaking of great and mighty things, but it is so difficult for me to even bring out a few of them, though we have tried to bring out many things and tried to share. It is so difficult because great is the mystery of God. And this thing is a mystery, and it is a great mystery. And to be able to express it, to put it into words, or to have a vocabulary expression, it is very difficult. It is not difficult for God to speak it, if the people are in the right frame of mind, and I come in the right frame of mind. It's not difficult for God to speak it. He knows the terminology to use. He knows how to use it, how to place things just to a perfectness to where there's no problem at all. And to me, He has already spoken it to me. He has already given it, though God is always given great, wonderful new things. Paul said with all of his revelation, he said, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure for the abundance of the revelation that God had given me. But nevertheless, still, I'll come to revelation and visions. And Satan is on your trail. When God goes to use you, you can be sure that Satan's on your trail every way you turn. He will do it through your family, your loved ones, through your associates, through the church, through the ministry, through people, in my case, around the world. But still, there is something to be said. But we're really here to learn one thing, and that's about the Lord, to hear one thing, and that is the words of eternal life. The words of life, when they started to forsaking Jesus, Jesus looked at the 12 and said, "In that the 70 has turned away, will ye also turn away?" And they said, "Well, unto whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." 70 people, and they had done great and mighty things like Judas. They had obtained part of that ministry, but was about to fall by transgression, because in that they had obtained this great, wonderful ministry. When Jesus said, "Lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And the 70 said, "This is a hard saying. Who can receive it?" And they turned and they went away. And they had just gave him the report saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name." The devils are subject unto us in your name. And here they was fixing to leave him. And so they did leave him. And Jesus said to the 12, "Then will ye also go?" And it's obvious, as we've said, Judas, one of them that also left him, would have been one of the great foundations of that holy city throughout eternity. But the gullible desire of the things of this world, the fleshly things that enticed him so, the feeling of the flesh and the exuberance of this life captivated his attention so much that he was willing to sell Christ Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Realizing what he had done, he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." He cast down the shekels at their feet when they refused to have them back. When he offered repentance, he went out and hanged himself. So Jesus said just before this, he said it had been better if this man had never been born. And why would he say that? Because the Bible speaks of those who shall receive the greater damnation. Now, who is it then that shall receive the greater damnation? The Bible speaks of some that's never known the depths of Satan. As to the real depths of Satan, they've never known the depths of Satan. Others know about Satan. They've been out into the world and they know about Satan. Everybody knows about Satan, and everybody has been tempted by Satan. And the Bible said, "And all flesh hath corrupted its way before God, and there's none good, no, not one, only him. And God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. All of us have gone astray like sheep, every man having turned to his own way, each one looking to his own quarter for his own gain." So the preacher don't have any problem preaching the gospel, because he knows everybody's guilty, and he can just start off and don't have to have respect to person. So Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver. Whereas some, having not known the depths of Satan, some have gone farther with Satan than others. And who then will receive the greater damnation? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And so then, when it comes to the greater damnation, the Bible speaks of those that have come to the knowledge of the truth, and having known the way of God, turning again to the beggarly elements of the world, to be in bondage, that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. So then, when you come to know the truth, and then you continue on in your religious hypocrisy, in that you do not live right, then you are in a terrible, terrible condition, and death abideth at your door. The wrath of God abideth at your door. And the one that will bring that wrath upon you is the minister. He is the revenger of God, the Bible said. Set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And for this reason, ye should be afraid for conscience sake and trying to do what's right. Never trying to cover up anything, because he is there for your good as long as you do good. For whosoever sins that he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins that he retains shall be retained. Whosoever he blesses shall be blessed. Whosoever he curses shall be cursed. So this don't mean just preachers, just lots of preachers. It just doesn't mean anybody. But it does mean he that God sendeth, and that God will speak his word through the one he sends. All right. So then we understand that the ones that know to do good and won't do it, then that is the greater damnation. And the ones that resist the minister, as I was just feeling then, the Bible said, resist unto damnation. The Bible said, for they are the ministers of God and set there for your good. And the Bible said that you submit yourself unto these powers, for there is no power but that that be ordained of God, and this power is ordained as to your good if you will do right and submit to them, seeing that they watch for your soul. But if you resist, the Bible said, then you resist to bring swift damnation upon yourself, because they bear not the sword in vain. All right, so then we come together that we might talk about Jesus and talk about the wonderful love of God. You know, sometimes over the morning, I don't know when it was, but in talking to the Lord, I had a vision, and in this vision, I was somewhere. Where, I do not know. I was not preaching revival. I was not preaching a crusade, or at least as to the places I was going and the things that I was doing, I was not. But I was praying for the sick, and I was ministering as to individuals and groups and whatever, just from house to house, and as I walked, and many people was following after us. And in the vision, I was made to know it was as it was in the days of Jesus, that these people followed me like they followed Jesus, because I was healing their bodies. And we were praying for the blind and praying for all kind of horrible, hideous diseases and afflictions. And the people were immediately and astoundingly being healed. And I heard somebody say in the vision, this perfect gift that never fails. And they were following wherever we went to. And I was telling things that had to do with certain things that, you know, others did not know. And they were revealed to me as to know. And when I said it, then, of course, it created a real fuss. But whatever it was, there was a multitude of people. And they were looking for God, and they were hungry for God. And really, that's true. Out in the world today, there is people that are hungry for God, and they're looking for God. A lot of religious people are bound with spirits, and they are full of resistance. I say this a lot of times. Here at Bethlehem, I have numbers of people that very smoothly sail along with me, and they hold themselves to kind of hold themselves in shape, not to get bent out of shape, as the world said. But in all reality, they have such hard spirits, and they have such resistance within them that there is no possible way to get to heaven, no possible way to have the Holy Ghost, no possible way to have the things of God. There's just no way. I reproved somebody the other day that's going from house to house and causing problems. And I reproved them. And somebody immediately, I believe it was after that, had a vision where they had a scorpion coming out of their mouth. A deadly scorpion coming out of their mouth. See, you can't go from place to place, wander around and know about this person's business and this person's business and that person's business without talking. And the first news you know, you're going to say the wrong thing, and you're going to be a tattler and a backbiter. And the Bible said these wander from house to house. They cause problems and afflictions and whatever, and they've always got something to tell, because they always go somewhere to hear it. And a gossiping tongue, the Bible said, and the gossiping, the lying tongue shall be rooted out. And people that have lustful spirits, their minds wander, their spirits wander, because they have no control over their spirit. And the Bible said they're like a city with a broken down wall. And it makes it bad on the preacher, because these spirits are in his audience. These spirits are in people. And he has to deal with these kind of things. And it makes it real bad. And in dealing with it, he has to deal in all wisdom as to be sure that if it's somebody that don't know and somebody that don't understand, that he suffers their mannerism and gives grace and understanding until they can learn. And then after that, he becomes real severe with them. It's like raising little children. You raise children, and when they're little, you're just so kind and tender because though they make ever so many mistakes, you're not harsh with them. But then when they get a few years of age, then you begin to deal with it. And then after that, as they get a little bit older, then you deal a little more stern and a little more explicit with them. And the more that they understand, then the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it is a sin, and the soul that sins shall surely die. So where there's no knowledge as of sin, then sin is not imputed. But when there is a knowledge of sin, then sin is imputed, and sin brings death. I've got women here that are lustful. I've got women here that's got lust spirits. I've got men here that's got lust spirits. I got women and men here that's got gossiping and backbiting and tale-bearing spirits. I've got all kinds. You can't imagine what I've got here unless you could look inside and see. I got people that are hard, that are supposed to be Christian. They are so hard until it's just unreal. As a matter of fact, I spoke of somebody today that's supposed to be one of my finest, most outstanding, most intelligent people here that's been with me for a number of years. And I was just telling somebody today, I said, you know, you can do things for God, it's to work for God. I said, but you can grumble all the way. The Bible said they murmured and they complained against Moses continually. And finally, God got so upset that he let the earth open up and literally swallowed them up quick. Moses finally got so disturbed, he said, if I be a man of God, just let the earth open up and swallow them quickly. And the Bible said they went down to the pit quickly. But anyway, the same way with Elijah. When they kept vexing Elijah, he finally just said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and get him, and got 50. Another 50 came and aggravated him. He said, let the fire get him, and he got 50. And it done that just with the regularity. Well, finally, they come and humble their hearts and said, oh, man of God, have mercy on us. See, we don't understand, but the Bible said if a prophet speaks something and it come to pass, fear that prophet. It didn't say fear God. It said fear that prophet. That doesn't set well with you either, does it, sister? It doesn't set well with you. Well, that's something. But it still says fear that prophet. Now, one reason it don't set well with you, even though you're doing real well about this time, you still ain't lined up with God and never have been. As long as you're here, though you're a minister's wife, you still ain't lined up right and never have been lined up right. And if you don't do something, there's a good possibility you won't never get lined up. And as to what I said a few minutes ago, as to the relative, the woman, as to the relative, should not have got upset because this young fella is a pain and a thorn in my side because the devil's got a hold of him. He's not interested in God, and he's not interested in what Brother Pike says. He's not interested in being in the house of God and would be a lot better off if he'd get up and leave. Now you really got something to get upset over. I said that's the kind of evil, rotten condition he's in as a young boy. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. I try not to go that far with things. I just kind of ease along. But if they're going to rebel... See, people are full of resistance. They're full of evil. They're wretched and undone without God. And yet they come to church. And the Lord says to the minister, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell them people. He calls them his people. Tell them people of their sins. For they delight to come into my presence as people that have done my will, but he said they haven't. And you tell them of their sins. See, I have people here that is so grievous to me that I absolutely, before the living God, would never preach a sermon to you if it wasn't for God and the good people of God that love the Lord. I would walk out of here night after night and never speak a word to you. Never will forget a king came to a prophet one time and said, prophesy to us. He said, I wouldn't even speak to you if it wasn't for this other king. Over here there was a king that loved the Lord that came for a word of the Lord. He said, I wouldn't even speak to you. Lady, don't act like that. Please don't act like that. Almost every service you act like that. You're so pious and act so righteous and you don't even dress decent. Let's give the Lord another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Always acting like you're scrutinizing me. You're not scrutinizing me. God knows your number, and if you don't watch out, it's going to be 666. Let's give the Lord a hand. You're just as natural and carnal-minded as you can be. You need to get born again is what you need to do and get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you'd stop your foolishness. All right, looks like I'm going to preach to about everybody before I even read a scripture. All right. The more I think here, the more I feel like the preacher did when he closed the book and went home. I can believe it was Brother Branham also one time got up and just closed the book and walked out and said, it ain't here. Young fellow, I'm going to tell you something. If you come in my services two or three more times with the same spirit you got, I'm personally going to call you out and ask you to come up here before the whole audience and let them see you and who you are, because that's the policy we have here. You're not going to sit in my service like that. That shook you up, didn't it? Because you didn't think the preacher would do that. You thought you could sit there with an old ugly devil, contrary devil, a disinterest devil, and that Brother Pike wouldn't say anything. But you're wrong. You're wrong. I'll be said something about you just like I did the lady that comes in here night after night and acts the way she acts. So you'd better get a hold of yourself. All right, folks. So I don't try to reveal your wrongs, and I don't try to reveal things that would hurt you, but I want you to know that I know what's going on inside of you. There's a young lady sitting right along here that she tries her best to blend it with me, but I said some things as of tonight that she don't like, and she has bristled up in her spirit, and she's trying not to get too rough in her spirit. But little sister, ain't but one thing wrong with you, and that's the spirit of lust. Let's get rid of that. You'll get rid of that. You'll be all right. All right, let's stand together and sing a song together. We might ought to sweeten the pot a little bit. I feel death in the pot. Somebody must have put some poison gourds in. And I can tell I have got some here. I don't know who brought them in, but let's sing a little chorus together. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Would you like to come to the altar? Some of you need to. The kind of condition you're in, you don't need to wait for a sermon. You need to come right now. You need to come, even some of you young folks. You need to come to the altar. You're in bad shape, folks. You don't need a sermon. I preached enough sermons here that you ought to know all about it. And when I come in tonight and meet the things I met tonight, you need to do something. You need to examine yourselves and remember now, if you're not in the faith, you're not going to make it. And the day is far spent and the night is at hand. And you need not be thinking about somebody else. You need to be thinking about you as to your own personal condition, the condition that you're in, and the help that you need for your soul before it's too late. I have so many people here that's filled with resistance. Until there is no possible way, according to what I understand as a minister, for you ever to have the Holy Ghost or ever to enter into the kingdom of God. I don't know of any possible way. And what I mean, you're not getting rid of it. You're going on with it every day and trying to hide it and trying to smooth it over and trying to make yourself believe that you're better than you was yesterday. But folks, the Holy Ghost is real. And if the Holy Ghost meets any resistance, he won't come. He's like a dove. And just to get him to speak to you as to the ministry or anybody that God sends, you should entreat with all of your heart and humble your heart before the mighty God of heaven. The Bible said, humble thy heart or thy spirit before the mighty God of heaven that he might give you mercy in due season.
For he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that abaseth himself or humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humble that heart. Get your mind on God. Get an interest in God. The Bible said that ye should know how to behave yourself in the presence of the Lord and in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. And when you come in here, keep your mind on God. You young boys, don't get your mind on girls in the house of God. I understand you're young and you might notice a girl. And I understand that a girl's young and she might notice you. And I know that you're looking for companionship. And Brother Pike isn't hard on you or trying to be ugly towards you. But when you come into the house of God, you try to keep your mind on God. Because that's the house of worship. And then when you go outside, the grounds are out there. And as long as you conduct yourself like a little lady, and the man conducts himself like a little gentleman, he can talk with you and you can talk with him. And y'all can get along real good and God will bless you and you'll have companionship, good companions, and grow up into the wonderful blessings of God. But don't let your mind be on the world and the filthy, evil things that you've done out there and what you're going to do, and especially come in here to entice a little girl or a boy off to the evils that you're practicing. Don't you dare do that. You remember when you come in here, this is the house of God. Don't bring spirits in here. I've talked to people about spirits in the past, and you know what's happened. I told them in time where they could have done something about it, but they wouldn't listen. And the spirits, they didn't realize what devils are like and how powerful devils are. And because they did not listen, overnight almost, the devil took them away. And now they've lost their soul unless God works a miracle. Or some of them have lost their life and lost their souls at the same time. I'm talking about young boys and girls, men and women of all ages. See, and listen, it's grievous enough to God and grievous enough to the minister to know that he preaches to you for 15 or 20 years and you hear this gospel and you go back and you do the ugly things of the world, and then you come back and then you go back and do the ugly things of the world, and you stay out there till you use up every ounce of your strength for the devil and for the lust of the flesh, and then run in here at the last minute feeling like God's going to give you eternal life. You know, that's enough to grieve the minister there and to grieve God. See, I'm a preacher. I don't believe in deathbed repentance. A lot of preachers believe in deathbed repentance. They believe that if any time that you come and repent, it don't make no difference when it is, God, he'll save you. But let me tell you something, folks, God don't do that. If God does do that, then he isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever. And besides that, if God does do that, he's respect to person. Because the Bible said that Esau sought repentance with tears, but he did not find any place of repentance. And it says that Judas went back and repented and threw the money down, but God did not accept him. He still was lost. And when you run in here like that, it doesn't mean that you're going to get saved at all. The best thing to do is do the best you can. And if you stumble and fall, God will give you grace and God will help you. But when you come to the knowledge of the truth, every seed that you sow, it's required of you. And even if God should forgive you for those wrong things, you've got every bit of that to reap. There's not one thing that you knowledgeably put into the ground as a seed, but what you won't reap it. Of sorrow and heartaches. Have you caused other people heartaches? It's like a young fellow I was telling yesterday morning, I believe it was. I said, you having done wrong the way you've done, he's done some horrible, hideous things. And I said, you got every bit of that to reap. If you hurt somebody else, you got that to reap. If you take advantage of another man's wife or daughter, you got that to reap. If a girl takes advantage of some mother's son or some woman's husband, she's got that to reap. And if you do things contrary to God and slip around on the side and manipulate and try to be evasive as to helping to carry on God's work and to live a Christian life, you got that to reap. In everything that you do, you got that to reap. Every seed that you sow, you got that to reap. And it's going to be a horrible, horrible, hideous moment when you start reaping all of these things. See, it's going to be something like you never dreamed of in your life. It doesn't matter what you've done. You got it every bit to reap. You can ask God for forgiveness. God may forgive you. You can ask God to save your soul. God may save your soul. But everything you've done, you got it to reap. And that's how bad this situation is when you do the things that are wrong. That's why we sing that song, sold the righteous seed for the reaping, which is coming to each and every one, that you can rejoice in that day when you'll hear the Master say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won. See, I'm still preaching to you, but I'm just talking to you. Talking to you because there's a different atmosphere. You humbled your hearts. You come here, you not only bowed your heads, but you bowed your spirits. And that gives God room to talk to you. That gives God room to be concerned about you. That gives God an opportunity to save you or to help you. And this gives God a chance. But folks, unless you humble your spirit and your heart, I'm telling you, you may come to Bethlehem from now on. You may belong to Bethlehem so far as people are concerned. You may live on the campground, but I'm telling you, you don't have God and you don't have the Holy Ghost and you don't have eternal life. You don't have it. Few there be that find it anyway. Out of a great multitude, there'll only be a few that'll find it. And the Bible called that a little flock. See, so there's just going to be a few anyway, even those that come to listen to the gospel. David said, I've seen them come into the house of God and I've seen them leave and be turned into hell after they'd heard the word of God. So even those that come to the house of God, it's just going to be a few out of them that's going to be saved. And you want to be sure that you're one of them. And you can be, providing that you'll be the right kind of person. Providing you'll not be deceitful, hard and bitter and gullible after the world. Providing that you're willing to forsake gossiping, backbiting, all of these evil things of the world, you can be. As I said, I don't believe in deathbed repentance. There is a policy for salvation, and that is to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in water by immersion for sins, the remission of sins, in that it's in His name. And then their following is the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, or Christ is Holy Ghost, which is Christ is Spirit. It's promised to you, and that is the eternal life. And if you don't get that, you don't have eternal life. Because there's no eternal life in your body, even if you believe. Eternal life is a spirit, and you must have the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. This life is in His Son, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And if you have that Spirit, you have that life. And if you have not that Spirit, then you don't have that life. And the Bible says there's one Spirit, His Spirit. And if you have that Spirit, then you're His. If not, you are not His. You are none of His. So, let me encourage you to do something before you get to your deathbed. The question would arise, well, do you believe that God will save anybody on their deathbed? I do believe that, and I believe there has been some. But I believe it's people that never did know anything about God, that never did really come into contact with God, as to really knowing anything much about God, and raised up in a heathen home. And they blundered on along, and as if by fire they get in, the Bible said, all of their works being burned, because they come to this thing in a late season. And then when they do come, God has mercy because of their ignorance. But folks, let me tell you, you cannot know about God and play around in the world, and then lay down on your deathbed and say, Lord, I've changed my mind. I want to be saved. Because He isn't going to save you. You take that from me. He isn't going to save you. While you've got your heads bowed, I want to pray with you. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight. And dear God, we realize that You allow things to happen as to spirits coming in. God, depress the ministry, Lord, that he might boldly speak up against many things that he suffers day after day. Because you draw a line as to an end of it in a place where you're intending to deal with it. And you allow interruptions, Heavenly Father, that he might say things that will snap other people into their right minds, snap them to attention, Father, before some dreadful, horrible, hideous thing befalls them. Knowing that the judgments of God are coming upon people fast, Lord, because of the knowledge of righteousness and sin in the day that we're living. And Father, since you've given much understanding and much knowledge, you're requiring much, and people still aren't doing it, Father. So that means that the judgments will be more severe, and judgment will come quicker than in years gone by. So I ask you tonight, as to the little flock, that you've given eternal life to. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless them, Heavenly Father, and they shall be blessed. And dear wonderful God, I give warning to these others, Lord, that though they may be believers, Father, they are not walking steadfast and are not doing as they ought to do, Heavenly Father. But Father, may they be convicted and may they be converted and may you blot out their sins that they may be part of this little flock, God, that is trying to do the things that please you. I ask you to look down from heaven tonight and I ask you to save these people. I ask you to heal these people. I ask you to make these people, Father, to be holy and godly and healthy, prosperous. Lord, if they'll go on with you, if they'll yield their spirits to you, if they'll humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, Father, if they will listen to your word, then, dear God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would help them. I pray that you would make their enemies be at peace with them and deliver them from evil and the uncleanness, O God, that is swallowing up humanity. May it come to pass that they will believe and that they will listen. I ask it in the lovely name of your precious Son, Jesus, and for his glory. All right, let's sing another little chorus together. Come into my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's lift our hands up together. Now, I trust that tonight that you considered the things that I'm saying. I do know that the boy that was giving me problems is considering it. He's trying his best to pay attention. He's trying his best not to have an ugly spirit and to have the right attitude toward me. And son, that's good, because it is to your hurt that you take the wrong outlook, not to Brother Pike's. And if I scold you, it is not for my good, it is for your good, that you may be protected. I've talked to many a young fella. I'm talking about a young fella like you. And not one, and not two, not three, not four, but numbers of young fellas was instantly killed in a car wreck or something happened to them that quick. They went out from this place right here, and one right after another was killed. Just walked out and was killed, just like that. So whatever you do for your sake, get your mind on the Lord, because the house of God is the worst place in the world that you could have come to if you're not going to listen and pay attention. See, and I appreciate you trying to take the right outlook. Some do not understand, and I try to be as merciful as I can, and was going to do that with the other situation. But parents, you're going to have to work with me. If I just casually say something, I have to say something. See, after it happens more than one time, I have to say something. See, and when I have to say something, then you shouldn't rise up at me and you shouldn't act like that. See, I'm trying to help your children. I'm trying to help you. And then when you do that, you're the one that's in trouble then, not them. Even though God can deal harshly with them, they may turn around and they repent. And then you're left out there for the judgments of the Lord. So you shouldn't do that. I'm trying to help you. These are my little ones, and they're very precious to me. I love them. I'm real fussy about them because I try to make rules and regulations for driving so you don't run them down. And I ask you and beg of you not to run them down. I stay on my knees all night long asking God not to let them be run down. And I pray for you the same way. I try my very best to pray for you and ask God to help you and strengthen you and to watch over these little ones. But don't do wrong. Don't do that. Don't do wrong. All right, now let's lift our hands up again. Brother Pike's not going to try to hold you tonight. I'm just going to pray with you. I cannot do anything. You have your life to live. You have your thoughts to think. You have to decide for yourself. Brother Pike's not trying to scare you nor make you live right, because you cannot make people live right. They must have a desire for eternal life. If they don't have a desire for eternal life, I cannot give them eternal life. See, they must have a desire for eternal life. I cannot remit their sins if they do not have a desire for eternal life and what is right. And if they will rebel against me, if they will not think right, talk right, dress right, act right, if they're going to have hardness in their spirit and rebellion in their spirit, the Bible said as to this resistance I keep speaking about, it said that rebellion and stubbornness as to submission to God in the ministry is like the sin of witchcraft and like idolatry, and God will treat it the same as if you was a witch. See, and I talk to you and ask you not to have that within you. Don't have that within you. It will drag you off. It will lead you astray. It will take you into the deep, dark places of this world that will destroy you, that will create a mind within you that will cause you to drift out into the darkness. And see, the minister, he can't help you. If you do that, he can't reach you. He can't help you. He can't remit your sins. But if you'll try to submit, the Bible said, submit yourself unto them as they that watch for your soul. For they must give an account to God. They must give an account to God as the sheep of God's pasture. That's what you are. And they must give an account to God if any one of them is lost or bruised or torn by any wild animal, as to spirits or whatever, or the beast of this world that get their claws into them when they talk to them about the perverted things of life, has to lead them astray after the flesh and the things of the world. See, so when I pray with you and I talk with you and I try to help you, have a great reverence for the Word of God and the Christ within me, because it's not me speaking but Christ. See, if it wasn't Christ concerned about you, I wouldn't be here. See, if it wasn't Christ that cared for your soul, I wouldn't be here. David said, I looked on the right hand and the left, and no man cared for my soul. So a man does not care for your soul. He might act like he does, but he's got something personal in mind. When a man marries a woman, he may act like she's the grandest thing in the world, but he's got his own personal desires and personal reasons for living with her. And when she acts like he's the grandest thing in the world, she's got her own personal desires and personal reasons for living with him. See, there's only one that loves you. That's Jesus, not mother. Mother couldn't do anything but raise you. You become her problem. Not dad, because it wasn't all his plans for you to be here. See, you love Jesus. He made you. He wanted you. He put you here knowing that you would be his responsibility, and he had to feed you and take care of you and put up with you and tolerate you. And he still loved you enough to do it, and then loved you enough to come down into this world and give the blood out of his veins to make sure that nothing could separate you from his love. Folks, you love him and you listen, for it's not the minister speaking, but it's God speaking from within him. And that's why I'm here. I love you very dearly, but I love you because it is God within me that loves you. And I'm concerned about your life, your state of affairs, as to your natural state of affairs, as to your physical state of affairs, as to your spiritual state of affairs. I'm concerned, and yet not I, but Christ within me. Because Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, even in the flesh, I live by the Son of God. So then I preach to you here as a little exhortation. I really had some things tonight that I know would have, beyond the shadow of a doubt, been so exciting to your soul and mine as we move on toward this great, wonderful conquering of death, to where you won't have to be put in the casket. But I cannot do that. I just have to do the best I can. And Satan knows that, and that's why he attacks you, and that's why he creates the problem, to place the block between the tenderness of God, the dove, as to the Holy Spirit, and between you. So think about this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. I appreciate the sister that got upset in her spirit. She is a wonderful person, but she just has too quick of judging as to temper. And I appreciate the way that she broke her spirit and humbled her heart. And also the other sister
that I had to rebuke. I don't like to rebuke folks. Paul said, if I make you sad, then who is it that's going to make me glad? You're my joy in the Lord. See, and the young fella, as to him changing his attitude, he is bewildered in his mind. He doesn't know anything about God. He isn't going after God. He isn't considering God. He's just trying to do whatever will keep the wrath of God off of him and try to honor me, which I appreciate from my heart. That's a good start anyway. But the thing is, the ones that were all out of sorts, the young girl, she's humbled her heart, and I pray that she'll be able to do that. And the woman that I have a lot of problem out of, she is trying to humble her heart, but she's still got a resistance within her that she is, her problem is self-esteem. She highly esteems herself, and she highly esteems her understanding and her ability, and she feels superior to others as a leader. But I'm telling you, you're not a leader. You are not even born again. How could you be a leader and not even be born again? You're not even born again. You don't even have the Holy Ghost. It's like a man that worked with me for years. I told him one day, he was one of the smoothest, best, finest, most likable, respected men here and in town. And one day I told him, I said, let's don't play games. I love you, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. Wasn't long before that or after that, he went his way. He went back into the world. He took his family back into the world. They're still in the world and still doing contrary as they can be, and went to a denominational church. Can you imagine that? And they were raised up in Pentecost and raised up under the William Branham ministry. But you see what happened? See, so don't do that. If I tell you something, believe that I'm telling you right. And the mere fact that you do the things that you do in your form of dressing and your form of fellowship and the form of talk positively proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that you don't have the Holy Ghost. When you see a person turn around and all of a sudden they're right back into things of the world, they don't have the Holy Ghost. They've never had the Holy Ghost. Someone would say, well, I know I've heard them speak in tongues. That don't have anything to do with it. That doesn't have anything to do with it at all. Speaking in tongues don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. I don't know where in the world people ever got that. See, the rain is on the just and the unjust. I've known people to speak in tongues and go right out and smoke and do all kinds of things. That doesn't mean anything. Tongues is a gift. And sometimes the Holy Spirit uses tongues. Sometimes He uses another gift. He uses miracles. Sometimes He uses discernment. One Spirit, many operations as to the gift. See, it's just as on the day of Pentecost, God let it come with tongues for one reason. And that's because the Jews, as to one nationality of one language, felt like that God was their God and everybody else was dogs. And God wanted them to know that He spoke everybody's language, that everybody belonged to Him. So He come, not as in a Jew's language, but He come in a language to where all of them could look, and many of them say, this is our native tongue wherein we were born. See, but Paul tells them after that in the teaching as the oversight to the Gentile church, he said, I magnify my office because I'm your overseer. And he said, folks, don't all come together and speak in tongues. He said, people will think you mad. They won't understand what you're saying. He said, if you've got people that are gifted with this and they speak in tongues, then let them pray that they might interpret, or let them speak to themselves in God. That is not to quench the Spirit, but under a low voice. And if they can interpret, then let them speak out. Two or three maybe speak in tongues, and then the others judge, or if they're being interpreter. If not, let them remain silent. All right. He said, I want to speak to you as to an edification. Tongues is wonderful. If you want to pray, Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all by praying, just praying, praying. And you build up yourself in the Spirit by just praying in tongues. I prayed in tongues sometimes for the longest kind of time. That's the way to speak in tongues, because the Spirit is speaking to you, and that's where the edification comes. Now, all of you are believers. Most every one of you, you wouldn't be here. But I tell you again, that don't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. Someone would say, well, what do I do to get the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike? The Bible said God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. I'm preaching to you. If you start obeying this word, honoring this word, dressing right, talking right, acting right, having the right attitude, get rid of the hardness and the resistance and get your mind on God and off of the natural things of the world, God will let the Holy Ghost come in. But see, if you want the Holy Ghost, you got to honor God. He gives it to them that obey Him.
And if you're just a believer, it still means you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost. If you're willing to submit your heart and your life, submit your lives to Him, then His Spirit will come into you if you're willing to do it. But folks, just because you've been here at Bethlehem and you feel like I'm your pastor and feel like these are your brothers and sisters in Christ, that don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. Just because you give offerings or give tithe and somebody else has went out from the presence of God and come back and you've stayed here, that you've been here 2 or 3 years, that don't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. Those 70 came back rejoicing that devils were subject to them in the name of Jesus, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I believe they did. Well, how could they? The Bible said the Holy Ghost had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet died for the remission of sin. How could they have had it? All right. So then let's lift our hands up. I'm not here to try to prove my point. I'm here to open your minds and help you. Even as Christ was kind to me to open my mind and try to help me, I'm here to try to do the same thing to you. And if you'll love the Lord, You'll admit in your spirit over and over. You won't tell nobody, but you'll say, oh my God, I heard the Spirit say something that I sure didn't know it was like that. I felt it was another way. See, and you'll acknowledge it in your heart and you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Don't resist it and try to fight against it. All right, let's sing together again, can we?
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more.
Sing that with me.
For the angel he'll stand, sea and the land, and time shall be. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more.
One more time.
For time,
you know what? Most of you folks, I'm telling you from my heart, you don't know how close it is. I'm telling you, as one that loves you, though I have preached to you for 15 or 20 years and you know many things. And some of you are so great and mighty that people that are great ministers would not nearly know what you know. But I still tell you that you don't know and don't understand as of yet what this thing is as to what God had done, what God is doing, and the place He's bringing you to. You just don't understand. Now some say, well, I feel like I do. Well, that's good. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them that I know for sure don't. Not that I'm persuaded that you do, but if you feel you do, that's fine. But I'm talking to these that I know that don't. But there's one thing about it. He intends for you to know. He wants you to know. He has given His life so that you can know. And in knowing, what will it do? It'll make you bypass the grave. In knowing, what will it do? It'll bring the Lord Jesus back. And in knowing, it'll make you evangelize the world too. It'll make you get away from those things that you think about and those things that you desire, and you will altogether lose interest in your bodily form, in your monetary status of life, in the power of your wealth. It'll be altogether different with you.
Shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more, and I will pray. For his blood has washed away every stain.
Wouldn't it be wonderful, folks, if in the day of judgment I could stand there with you and feel that wonderful Holy Ghost that I feel up here, that I felt on these two lads as they come up, as they humbled their heart with all sincerity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could feel that on you and feel that on me when we stand before God and not one of you would be lost? Not one of you would be lost. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't you like to see your dad and mother when you get there and know that they made it into the kingdom? And see your little brothers and sisters and know that they made it? What a sad thought to be there and know that you made it, but your brother didn't, and your sister didn't, and your loved ones didn't. And folks, it's going to be that way. Did you know there's going to be millions of people that will stand there? Their mother didn't make it. Their dad didn't make it. Their brother didn't make it, and their sister didn't make it, and their pastor didn't make it. Some of the deacons of their church didn't make it. Some of the people of their community didn't make it. That's going to be sad, but that's the way it's going to be. And then there's going to be some others that will stand there and mother made it, daddy made it, brother and sister made it, sons and daughters made it, the children all made it. The family circle isn't unbroken. It's one of the great miraculous things where they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they give their heart to God sincerely and they dare not go back on God or not do anything wrong. Their whole heart was just to see that God's will was done in their life, and with that God had compassion, and somehow through prayer they reached their loved ones and they made it. Think about it now. You're standing here with me. Some of your mothers aren't going to make it. Some of your dads aren't going to make it. Some of your brothers and sisters, some of your children, sons and daughters. As a matter of fact, already you know and I know that some of them are already dead and some of them are already in hell. As much as I hate to think that and as much as it tears me up, I go to pray or I just sit at home and think and I almost get in a nervous tremor. And I think, no, my mind gets on them in hell, and I tell you this so often, I'll catch myself, no, that can't be, no. And then I'll stop and I'll say, boy, you're beside yourself. Them people are in hell and you can't get to them and you can't reach them and you know you can't and you need to get a hold of yourself and go reach the ones you can reach and do what you can. But see, that's somebody's loved ones. I get to thinking of them like this. I think, well, what if that was my brother or my sister or my son or my daughter? Oh, my God, what if that's my mother or daddy, you know? And then you just can't do it. Can't do it. All I can do is tell you to do whatever you can. Pray. While there's life, there's hope. While there's opportunity, pray. Pray. Because it's so crushing. If they ever cross over that line, it's so crushing then. Because there's never another opportunity. Never. That's why I try to give my life to God. All right. While your heads are bowed, we're going to sing one more time. I Will Praise Him. And then we're going to let you go.
And I will pray.
Could ask Brother John Jameson once again. If he'll come up here.
Will praise him.
Let me say this as John comes. I can tell from little Solomon's spirit that he's really concerned about his soul and his loved ones, even though he's just a youngster. But Solomon, you pray and you believe and you go with the Lord and you try to do what's right. When the world is enticing you and people are talking evil communications, don't pay any attention to them. Just go right on anyway. And God will watch after you and God will help you. He'll help you. Our Brother John is coming once again.
And I will pray.